Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Jared Diamond is a national baseball writer for the Wall Street Journal. He's the author of Swing Kings. We've had him on the show before. It's great to have him back. And he joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Jared, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon to you. It's been quite a morning so far, to say the least.
That states the least, man.
Yeah, how about this? Your reaction, first of all, there are a couple of different tentacles to this thing. Your reaction to the return the Indians get for a very good starting pitcher who obviously had some things going on this year.
Well, look, they got so many players back, six players back, that you just hope one or two of them pan out. It's certainly a sort of a quantity deal. I don't think any of the six names jump out at you immediately as, oh, that's the guy that's going to emerge into a star. But when you acquire so many young players, the odds of one or two of them panning out into something gets a lot higher. Of course, you know, the price of that was a guy who really has been one of the best pitchers in the American League for years now. So it was a really weird situation. This was not sort of a normal trade deadline deal, just given everything that surrounded Mike Clevinger this year.
So when you look at this assortment of players coming back, does any of these guys stand out to you as maybe this is the guy that's going to pop and be really good, or does it all just seem like a bunch of lottery tickets?
Well, it's hard to say. Some of these younger prospects that you hear really, really good things about, like Cantillo, you know, like Naylor. These are all guys that we've heard very, very good things about, and there are some scouts out there that really like this deal from the Indians' perspective because they see these guys as people that can develop into sort of a big deal. But I also understand if there's any Indians fans out there that go, hey, where's that sort of immediate top three prospect that we could say is the sort of the jewel of our farm system? That was not the return in this trade. But it doesn't mean it won't work out really well. It just means we may need to wait a little bit to know how well it's worked out.
Does it surprise you, Jared, that they picked up this kind of a haul from Mike Clevinger?
No, it really doesn't. If you're going to, this is not the kind of player that comes available very often. We're talking about a 29-year-old starting pitcher who truly ranks among the best, you know, 3 to 5 pitchers in the American League, and you're moving him when he's not a free agent for another 2 years. That kind of player simply does not become available. So if you're going to move him, you better get a lot for him. But what was different about this is I think everyone in the industry knew that the Indians were really committed to trading him. This is not the kind of guy that normally gets moved at a trade deadline this far before free agency, especially from a team that's beyond in contention, a team in Cleveland that looks like almost certainly it's going to the playoffs. So this was clearly, to me, a move that came to be in large part because of everything that's happened with Clevinger. I just can't imagine they would have rushed out to trade him right now if not for what went down a few weeks ago.
He is Jared Diamond of the Wall Street Journal joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So where does this leave Cleveland, Jared? Does this put them in a position where they're still a World Series contender in your mind, or does this make them take a step back?
Well, the amazing thing about the Indians, and it's an incredible testament to Chris Antonetti and that whole front office, is that they seem to have built some sort of machine that just turns out pitchers. They, in the last couple of years, have traded Trevor Bauer, they've traded Corey Kluber, and now they've traded Mike Clevenger. And yet you look at their starting rotation, and frankly, you still feel pretty good about it, which is absolutely incredible. No other team in the major leagues could have traded those three starters of that caliber. And then you come away going, oh, they're still fine. Shane Bieber looks like probably the leading Cy Young candidate this year. Carlos Carrasco is back to being Carlos Carrasco. Now you have an opportunity for guys like Plesac, who's sort of been up and down because of all the depth they've had. So this doesn't change the fact that the Indians are right there to contend to win the American League Central. It's, of course, very competitive. You hope that Josh Naylor, who looks like he's going to be inserted into left field right away, improves the lineup somewhat. So it's really a testament to Cleveland that they are able to make this move and have it not sort of destroy their season. There's very few teams I think you could say that about.
Jared Diamond joining us from the Wall Street Journal. Jared, Gabriel Arias may or may not be the shortstop of the future of this team. They'll need one. So what are you doing with Francisco Lindor? What approach would you use with Lindor if you're the Indians?
Goodness, that's the real billion-dollar question. The reason I'm not a GM is what you do with Lindor. Look, I'm certainly not looking to trade him today. That's for certain. I think you got to play this season out now. See if you could get another pennant, get back to a World Series, and compete for a championship. Certainly, even with this wacko playoff format, the Indians certainly have a shot to do that and have to see it out. But then we have to go into the offseason, and they really have to figure out where they're going, what their future is. And you feel really good about their rotation moving forward, even without Clevenger. But you have to wonder, if you look at this lineup, is it going to be sort of championship ready fast enough that you're justified in keeping Francisco Lindor? You know, I would not be surprised to see Cleveland start to entertain trade offers for him this offseason, see if they can continue to rebuild that farm system. And look, it really is a shame, because obviously Lindor is the exact kind of player that, if you're a fan, you should want your team to be signed to a long-term extension, to be the face of the franchise for years to come. It just doesn't seem like at this point that that's going to be an option. There's just no indication that Cleveland is going to be willing to spend what it's going to cost to keep Lindor there long-term. And if that's the case, I think they do have some tough decisions to make.
Jared, do you think the Cleveland Indians are done after this Mike Clevenger move, or may there be something else coming down the pipe that might be a little more on the edges?
Look, the way this trade deadline has played out so far, I have no doubt that anything is possible. This has been an absolutely wild trade deadline, and it's been so weird because there's so many buyers. What I thought eventually would happen is you would just run out of sellers. There's so many teams looking to add right now, because of this playoff format, because so many teams get into October, and there are so few teams that have actually waved the white flag and said we're out. So we'll see. I don't think we're going to see anything else enormous out of Cleveland. I'm not sure what that sort of big earth-shattering move would be. I'm sure this was their heavy lifting. But look, the AL Central is extremely competitive. You know, Minnesota, you have Detroit has been sort of really surprisingly good. And, of course, Chicago is rising. So if you want to keep up in this division, you may have to keep making moves. I wouldn't be surprised if some of those other teams are busy on the phones right now as we speak.
Jared Diamond joining us from the Wall Street Journal. With this team, the way it's put together right now, Jared, you see the starting pitching, and we've talked about there's the depth there, and there are young guys coming up, and you keep your fingers crossed that they can do what you hope they can do. But would you feel comfortable if you were this team with your offense right now? You add Naylor. I don't think you can count on him to be the answer to everything. Do you like the offense, and can you count on it in any way, shape, or form?
Look, it's not ideal. There's no question about it. It's not nearly as good as the lineup Chicago and Minnesota are running out there every day. This is a team that revolves around pitching. It's revolved around pitching from the beginning. I think we always knew that if Cleveland was going to have success this year, it was going to be driven by their pitching and then just hoping they're able to scratch across enough runs to make it work. So far, it has. But look, of course not. If I'm a fan of Cleveland, I'm certainly not sitting here feeling good about this lineup. You just hope it's enough to maybe win this division, to get into the postseason. And then, look, you get into a short postseason series. You're running out fever as much as you possibly can. Some of these other starting pitchers, and suddenly anything could happen. And I do think they are good enough to get into the postseason. And once they're in there, that starting pitching, I think, is really going to play.
Do you see Chicago or the Twins possibly sniffing around the Lance Lynn market?
Absolutely. I think especially Chicago, I think they're going to really want another starting pitcher. The White Sox lineup is great. We all know it's great. They're sort of the opposite of Cleveland, where you know they're going to hit and you wonder if they're going to pitch enough. Lance Lynn seems like, at this point, the most likely sort of maybe not ace-level starting pitcher, but certainly sort of a very, very good number two starting pitcher who's available. And I think there's a lot of teams that are sort of in that position that could use a guy like that. But the White Sox, sort of like the Padres, just made this team with the Indians, seem to have sort of accelerated their timetable to where they're going, you know, the future has arrived. Let's go, and let's go get it right now. And the best way to sort of plant that flag is go out and acquire a guy like Lance Lynn.
Jared, what do you think about where Major League Baseball sits right now? There have been, and I mean with the virus and the short season, there have been some huge instances where things have been disrupted. Miami, things seem to be back on track. St. Louis, things seem to be back on track. Other teams have missed some games. I've been kind of impressed at the way they've been able to roll with this and get it back on the rails. Can they finish it off?
Yeah, here's the good news we've seen about on the virus front. After the absolute debacles we saw with Miami and then St. Louis, complete disasters, full team outbreaks, really bad, we've now seen three teams come down with a positive case. First, we had New York, we had Cincinnati, and now we have Oakland. And in the first two, with the Mets and the Reds, those sort of initial cases never spread. They never had any other cases pop up on any other day. So far, that's the case with the A's as well. After they had their positive comeback yesterday, they were all tested yesterday, and this morning we find out they had no new positives. So it suggests to me that the league and the players and everybody has sort of figured out that it is possible, if you follow the protocols, to stop one positive from immediately turning into 20, which is what happened with the Cardinals and Marlins. So to me, that's a really good thing. There's only about 3.5 weeks or 4 weeks to go in the season. Baseball is clearly beyond committed to getting to the postseason, setting up some sort of bubble and getting that sweet, sweet playoff money. So for it to shut down now, something absolutely catastrophic would have to happen. I just don't see it, because I do think things have finally started to stabilize, and hopefully I didn't just jinx it.
I really enjoyed your latest piece on the Wall Street. Well, it's not your latest piece, but your piece on the Wall Street Journal. Basically, we did the research and said baseball is longer than it's ever been, and everything Rob Manfred has done has really not helped the cause. Do you think Major League Baseball is going to attempt to do something else to shorten these games, or is it, you know what, it just is, it's going to be this long, and then you're just going to have to put up with it?
Yeah, this is a really tricky issue. It's a huge issue. And it's one that, look, so far baseball's attitude has been, well, baseball has a way of working itself out. Things even out. Things stabilize. Let's let the game sort of navigate itself on its own and see where things settle before jumping in and really tinkering. And that's a different approach than other sports would take. There's no question. We've seen in the NBA, we've seen the NFL, an incredible willingness constantly to go in there, get under the hood, and start making changes to the sort of fundamentals of the game strictly designed for entertainment purposes. And baseball has not really done that. Its fan base is very traditional. People get really mad when they change anything. I think back a couple of years ago to when baseball said, well, we're going to limit mound visits to 6. And that sparked about 3 weeks of breathless debate about how it was going to ruin baseball. And, of course, an opening day happened and everybody forgot about it immediately because it was such an insignificant change. So imagine what will happen if baseball tries to do something really dramatic to speed up games. But the reality is, look, 3 hours and 7 minutes is too long for a sport that's going to play every single night for 6 months. I understand NFL games are long, but NFL games are played once a week on a weekend at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Baseball games are played on weeknights at 7 p.m. And I just don't believe, as someone who loves baseball more than anything on earth, truly loves this game, that a Wednesday night July baseball game in Cleveland needs to end at 10:30 at night. I just don't see how that's good for the game. And I hope that the people in charge realize that. And I hope that fans are sort of recognizing that saying that baseball games are too long does not mean you don't love baseball. It's just sort of a ridiculous thing to say that I hear pop up a lot. Because I love baseball, I want baseball to be better.
Jared, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for hopping on with us, man.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
Talk Jared soon. Diamond, Wall Street Journal, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.